It's GPB. I'm Leah Fleming. Over these cold winter months, many people have found themselves curled up in a cozy quilt. From patchwork or crazy quilts, salvaged from old clothes and fabrics, to highly designed patterns, quilts not only keep us warm, but they also tell a story. And for Black people, quilting has a powerful history. During the slavery period, Black women were used for spinning and sewing and quilting in wealthy households, and some became highly skilled at it. And before slavery was abolished, members of the Underground Railroad often used quilts to mark escape routes, directing people to freedom. On the third Saturday of almost every month, in a room at a local library in Decatur, a group of Black women gather together to keep an age-old craft alive in the 21st century. The Brown Sugar Stitchers Quilt Guild was founded in 2000, and 20 years later, they're still creating art in sisterhood. For most of the women, they all remember the first quilt they saw, like Elisa Woods, the Stitchers president.
My mom had a heavy quilt. It was made of all her brothers and sisters. It was nine of them, all their clothing and stuff. And so my brothers and myself, as three of us, slept under that. And so when I got ready to go to school, we had washed it so much, it wasn't anything left. It was about pillow size. And I kept saying, how can I recreate this? So I tried to do, it was a crazy quilt, you know, because it had...
Oh, crazy quilt.
Yeah, it had clothes and, you know, but not the crazy quilts that are the beautifully done. It was like, it was a shirt thing here and a thing, and it was stuffed in there from an old blanket, but it was so heavy, it was warm.
During meetings, the women trade wisdom and participate in community service. On this day, they're talking about creating quilts for children with sickle cell anemia.
And what makes it easy is they're smaller quilts. Think of lap quilts. You could do a 44 by 42 by 44 is good, because generally these children use them to just cover themselves, either in their beds when they're inpatients or when they come for their treatment.
But after business, it's time to show off the work.
Now we're ready for show and tell. And so you all ready?
Some of the quilts are gifts for loved ones.
My grandson is getting married, a destination wedding in New Orleans. I'm making a quilt, and these are the shams to the quilt. Peacocks and feathers.
You know, I said I have four grandboys, and so I have been working on some surprise quilts for them. So this is one. That's a Sonny's Spider-Man. Every day he says, "What's on my quilt?" And I said, "It's going to be a surprise." So today he's going to get it.
While other quilters, like Nancy Franklin, are using their artistic voice to send a message, today Franklin has unveiled her small quilt with the word "vote" repeated in different colors and fonts all across the front.
I only have one vote, but I can encourage other people to vote. Notice there is no red in here.
Franklin, who is a Democratic voter, says leaving the color red off her quilt, which often represents the GOP, is an intentional choice. But then she walks back that statement.
I really, though, don't want it to be partisan. I want it to be for whoever, you know, for everyone to vote, because I think that's, you know, the foundation of our democracy. Some people tend to be political in their quilter. There are some quilters who are very well known for having writing on their quilts, or there have been people who've done quilts to honor people who've lost their lives, for whatever reason, like Trayvon Martin and people like that. I mean, we see that all the time.
In a moment, we go from politics to an intimate social issue. Here is Stephanie Laster sharing her quilt and her story.
Basically, this one is what we call a body map or a living quilt. So I don't want to wait till I pass away and have somebody else make. I want to do me how I'm feeling today.
Lester is also an activist who wants to get more Black representation on the National AIDS Memorial quilt. She says the quilt, which is made up of about 60 miles worth of fabric, has less than a mile dedicated to African Americans.
I have condoms in my hand over here, and I have a banana over here because I couldn't hold nothing else. And I got fingernails, all the things that talk about me. So it's like, why wait till I'm gone and expect you to do?
Since the epidemic began, about 42% of those diagnosed with AIDS in the United States have been Black. But according to the quilt's curator, fewer than 400 of 47,000 quilt panels honor African Americans. So what stands out in the quilting work are the stories of the Black experience today, the rich African fabrics and colors, the humor expressed in some of the work, and the love of working with their hands is in all of it.
I think that for me, that's the important part, is being able to express yourself and then being able to know that your voice is heard in the greater community of quilting.
President Elisa Woods says her next goal for the group is to attract younger quilters.
And so for our guild, as we push 20 years, that is what the focus is. As a founding member, our guild at this point is probably a medium age of probably 50. And so we're looking to attract younger people to get them interested in the working with their hands and being able to express themselves. And so we're wanting to be here more than 20 years.
For now, the Brown Sugar Stitchers Quilt Guild are patched together with their ancestors who also quilted, like the women who lived in the isolated African-American hamlet of Gee's Bend along the Alabama River. Their quilts have been called the most important African-American cultural contribution to the history of art within the United States. Not only do the Gee's Bend quilters create quilts, but they also sing.
Hallelujah.
From one group of Black women quilters in Alabama to the women quilters in Atlanta, the tradition, the history, and the art continue. You can find pictures and video of my visit with the Brown Sugar Stitchers at gpbnews.org. This is GPB.